Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones.
Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord.
The Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In today's message, Pastor Joel concludes the teaching series, Doing What Pleases God.
We now have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said it, right? He said in the book of John, he said, me and my Father will make our abode in you. We're going to make our home in you. So what's our excuse? Okay. Many people, we exhibit the same propensities that they did. We follow suit, even though we consider ourselves to be born again believers in Christ. All right. And the devil knows this. So again, those who heard last week's portion of the sermon will remember that I drew a comparison. I drew a comparison on how many so-called Christians, how many so-called saints who consider themselves to be upright, church-going people still honor and worship false gods. That's right. False gods and goddesses. Now I need to speak on this because it's prevalent in a lot of churches. Okay, don't get upset. Just get the medicine, okay? People that indulge in fraternities, I want to make that clear. Sororities, look into the history. Some people are wearing emblems with the head of a so-called god on the head. These people are in church, okay? Rituals, most of these things are involved in those people that are involved in Freemasonry, okay? Eastern Stars, all these secret organizations with secret handshakes and secret. God's word ain't no secret. The word of God is no secret. He doesn't hide anything. So to tell you right there, there's something wrong, okay? But more than that, when you fraternize with these organizations, you are claiming allegiance. You're aligning yourselves with systems that are shrouded in mysticism, witchcraft, and the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if you're in these things, watch your home life and watch the life of your family and friends, because you are rooted in demonology. A lot of people don't know this, okay? And a lot of people who are in the word who are leaders. I've seen pastors introduce their whole fraternity and got them sitting to the right, all dressed in certain colors. They're doing everything except letting out a loud haroop, you know? But this is directly against the word of God. We've got to know that. This is the truth, okay? We have to know this. Yes, somebody just says it's initiation. But when you give your life to these things, and some of the key notes and the key phrases are my master and different things like that, who are you talking about, okay? We give our lives to Christ. We uphold him, and we don't take on any graven images or idols. So this is just one thing. This is just a small thing. If you look at Jesus, what he says in Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, he said, these people draw near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, preaching as doctrines the commandments of men. He said, in vain they worship me, preaching doctrines by the commandments of men. So in other words, you go to church, you show up when you show up, you read the word, yet you're holding on to these types of commitments, that you are still in lodge number so-and-so, and you still serve the grand poobah, whoever that is, or the master blaster, or I don't know. I don't belong to any of those things, but I'm just saying. I don't know. But I'm saying as an example, how can we face God and say that we honor him, and how can we expect God to lead and guide us when we're being disobedient to one of the things that he hates most, that he'll share his glory with nobody. Okay? So we have to look at this. So in this scripture, Jesus said, they worship me speaking doctrines of the commandments of men. It sounds like he's saying lip service doesn't work with me. If I can paraphrase. That's what that means to me. He said, don't come to me with lip service. Don't come to me saying you worship me and you go out and worship something else or somebody else. Don't come to me doing that, okay? So this is what we need to know. If you belong to any aberrant, an ungodly practice, any cult, any group, once you come to Christ and repent, we've got to do just what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, if you knew these things and you were, what's the term? I don't know. Wizard number one or whatever you were in this thing, and then you come to Christ. What does it say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, Pastor? Is this where we got to be?
2 Corinthians.
Second Chronicles.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Thank you, Aunt Lisa. That's what we've got to do. That's the word I'm getting around, that last part. Turn. If you're in these things, and you're in these sororities, and you're in these fraternities, you're a Christ follower. I don't know if you were in this before you became a Christian. I don't know if you were a Mason before you became a Christian. I don't know. I don't know of all these other things. Once you sign on with Christ, read the word and see what Jesus says. You got to let some things go. That's all over. Let me tell you something. I was in the martial arts for 30-something years. I worked hard. But the martial arts that I took wasn't for sport. It was for life and death. It was very real, and it's very dangerous. But guess what? It was also rooted in Eastern philosophy. Huh? Yeah. We had certain names where they said praying thrice to Buddha. That was one of the forms that we had to learn. And I knew it very well. They were ready to send me over to Hong Kong. I was going to be there for a while. But the point was, when the Lord came to us, one of my friends said, well, what are you going to do? You all about to open up these 4 or 5 martial arts schools and this, that, and the other. It was very lucrative. There was money to be made and people that wanted to study this, training bodyguards, training military and everything else. And I said, well, maybe the Lord will let me do both. He said, yeah, you could bring people to Christ through this martial art. Now, some people do that. You know what the Lord told me? Not you. He said, not you. He said, we were slated. We were making the plans to go to China. My instructor was, who's Chinese. And the Lord said, and I hadn't said anything about it to the Lord. I hadn't said anything about it, I don't think, to Annalisa. And when he came to me that night and I knew I was speaking to the Lord, he said, what are you going to do about your martial art? And I said, oh, he knows about that. I said, yeah, well, yeah, God knows everything. So I didn't have to bring it up to him. He knew. And I said, well, can I do both? I said, people are telling me that they do both. And they, you know, I figure karate for Christ, put a name on it. You know, bring the young boys, get a gym, and we train at night and read the Bible. He said, not for you. He said, you can't serve two masters. He said, you got to know whom you're going to serve. And I was deflated. I didn't like that. I didn't feel good about that. But I wasn't going to tell him that. But I didn't feel good about it. So I walked away, and I see these men at church with karate uniforms on, breaking bricks, and they were saying, in Jesus' name, they were doing all kinds of stuff. And I said, well, wait, how come they can do it, Lord? How come I can't do it? They just breaking bricks. I know how to do it. Why don't we do it? Wouldn't let me do it. But as I got in the Word, and he took me in so deep that I realized that doing a form and calling that form praying thrice to Buddha is a direct slap in the face of God. Then I got to the point where I said, well, I won't call it that. It's just a workout to me. But then something else happened as I kept getting in the Word. Then something else told me, yeah, but you're doing it. And you know that rooted in this is, it's still rooted in, I'm making the same movements. So it's like I just wanted to stop doing it. You know what I mean? Because anything that slights God, I don't want to do it. See, and that's where he wants us to be. He says, if if you're not pleasing God with it, it's giving credence or giving authority to some other God or somebody else, I think that God can take care of me better than that could ever take care of me. And I figure I'm prepared to do his work now. You see what I mean? So when we see that he says, if you call by my name, once you find out you're serving God, you've got to let some things go. If they're not uplifting God, it's uplifting. If it's rooted in something else, you got to let that thing go. Not to mention, pastor is saying that it'll cause someone to stumble. Yes, yes. You've got to let that thing go. Now, I'm not just talking about the martial arts issue. I don't know where that falls on the scale of sinful stuff. But I'm saying that I know for sure if you're practicing something and you were in something so deeply that you were associated with your fraternity brothers in college and then you came to the Lord, guess what? You got to let some things go. Because you're still working in that thing and you're still not pleasing God 100%. And that's where we are with this. Now, some people don't want to hear this. But this is the word of God. Check it. Read the word of God and see what it says. Now, pastor, take us to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19, please. And let's look at that.
2 Corinthians 5:17-19 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, mm-hmm. he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Mm-hmm. Now, all things are of God,
yes.
who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Thank you so much, Annalisa.
Let me go to 19. You said 19.
Did I say 19? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, mm-hmm. not imputing the trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Amen, amen. Thank you. All right, this scripture right here, we see that this is what coming to Christ involves. This is what it involves, you all. We know it, we hear it, but have we really tasted it? This is what coming to Christ means. You got to let go of that old stuff. You got to let go of that old man. Let the new man come through. Take away the old woman. The new woman takes the place. We got to picture ourselves stranded on the side of the road, carrying a bunch of junk on your back, which has weighed us down for quite some time. Most of our lives is just junk. Sometimes we're spiritual hoarders, holding on to junky thoughts, holding on to junky behavior, backpack full of it. And you wonder why we can't get to where we want to be. You wonder why we take two steps forward and two steps back. You wonder why we're walking in circles with junk on our back. We got our own plans and not God's plans. Not God's plans. That's junk in a bag. And we're standing on the side of the road. Do you see that picture? Now, here comes Jesus. Jesus pull up with a big old air-conditioned bus. Big bus, okay? Tell you to get on the bus. He opened the door wide. For us to get on the bus. But when you get on that bus, he said, drop the bag. Drop that stuff. You won't need it where we're going, right? You won't need that on this bus. Huh? This is what this scripture is talking about. When we come to Christ, we become a new creation. Old things are made new. Huh? That old stuff got to go. Those old thoughts, those old ideas, those old bad habits, that old allegiance to that old flag has got to go. Okay? And this is really, really important, okay? When he pulls up, in case you didn't know, there's no room on the bus for the junk. No room walking with Jesus. That's why he said, narrow is the way, difficult is the road, few find it. Go on that wide road, you're going to see all kinds of junk, and people still got it because they're on the wide road, and they're just dragging the junk with them, huh? That's why he said, get on the narrow road. It's a narrow gate. It's not enough for you to bring that bag through this narrow gateway. When we went to India, we had to go through the ghetto, this terrible area, and the walls were straight, were short together, like you had to suck in and you had to squeeze to it. Oh, Pastor lost some weight, because we were going through that like this, and the food wasn't like it was here either. We never found a donut. No, we didn't. So, but what I'm trying to say is that it wasn't much room. It was one way in and one way out. And once you pop through that little opening in the wall, you're in a very dangerous, bad area, and you would have to run to that wall and squeeze all the way back through, and I was there with my wife, okay? But again, like the scripture said, we had God in us. We weren't alone. We weren't afraid. We were just going to do the work, and we weren't going to let anything else get in the way of that. So what I'm saying is that this is what this scripture is telling us. When you get on that bus with Jesus, everything else has to be put down. That's why he stopped and said, wait a minute, wait a minute. When the multitude, he stopped them. He said, don't go any further. If you come further, he said, you got to drop everything. Mother, father, sister, brother, are you prepared to walk away from some stuff and some people? That's what we got to think about. This is where we are as Christians. People are not always going to like you. They're not always going to want to hang with you. You're going to lose more friends than you make, okay? Chances are that's what's going to happen. You might be given a whole different group of family members. That's how it works, okay? Understand that. But if we want to know what pleases God, that's what these sermons are about. This is what pleases him, all right? Now, let's go. These verses in 2 Corinthians 15, 18 to 19 talks about reconciling. First, Jesus reconciles us to himself, and then we reconcile others to Christ. Does that make sense? That's what it is. Okay? Remember that song, the R&B song called "You Reunited and It Feels So Good"? Remember that song? Okay. We're reuniting, but with Jesus. Put it like that. And it's going to feel good once you get to where you need to be. But we got to get to it. Okay? So that's what it's saying, okay? And Christ, he's the one true God, so we can't serve him and keep serving these false gods, false deities, things shrouded in witchcraft. Talking about, give me a lottery ticket, gambling, and I bet this and I bet that. Can't do it and follow the Lord. We just can't do it, okay? A lot of different things. You plug it in your lifestyle and see what the Lord tells you, okay? So these are the things that we talk about. And they have nothing to do with advancing the kingdom of God or salvation. We need to know it, not just for ourselves. I'm almost done. Not just for ourselves, but for our children. Remember, at the root of all this, there's a devil. There's a demon at the root of everything you're doing, everything you're thinking about. There's a devil at the root of it. There's a demon at the root of it trying to get you to go away from God. I don't know if you all heard this recently. A young rapper from Chicago, born in my hometown. His name is his angle is he's called Juice WRLD, WRLD. Handsome young man, 21 years old. Living in LA. Well, he wrote a song and his song hit the charts, and I think it was number one on Billboard or something. It was a rap song. Don't ask me the name of it because I don't know. But certainly had risque lyrics and everything like that. Well, he was now on the fast track, getting ready to, as they say, blow up. I want you to know that term blow up is what the devil wants you to do. He wants to blow you up, okay? Think of it like that, all you young people. The devil is waiting to blow you up because this young man was filmed with his buddies in a group, and they all went to the beach or some area, and they said, tonight, Juice WRLD is going to sell his soul to the devil for fame. And he was telling everybody, I'm about to be rich. His word was, I'm going to be as rich as H-E-L-L. Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But I'm sure now it's not working that way because they sacrificed animals, and they drew the fire, and they showed all this on. These are, you know, people film everything nowadays, so they're filming this. And his friends are walking around, and they're laughing and saying, yeah, he's giving his soul to the devil. The next day, he was invited to a, he was on his way to Chicago, private jet, birthday celebration in his honor. Was it 2 days later or something like that? Okay, it may have been 2 or 3 days later, but shortly thereafter, the night that he gave his soul to the devil, supposedly, whatever that means, then when he got to the airport, he dropped dead. In the airport, people watched him convulse and bleeding from the mouth. By the time he got, nobody moved to help him. Right after that, so he's gone. Now, I don't think that there's anything accidental about that. Bible says God is not mocked. What a man sows that he reaps, or reaps that he sows. And what we see, yeah, he even spoke that they don't live past 21, and he didn't. He had said that, I think, maybe in one of the recordings, one of the that same time. What I'm saying is, people, we've got to know and do what pleases God so that we can tell others, so we can tell young men like him. So we can tell it's not about that stuff. It's not about the world. Get yourself in a church. Get yourself with the Word of God. This is invasion of the body snatchers. The devil is snatching our young people away. We've got to stand up and show that it's not about being cool unless you're cool in the Word of God, okay? Get cool with Jesus and you'll really be cool, because if not, it's going to be a hot place where some people are going. And this is a sad situation. After seeing that documentary, I felt like I knew that young man, and I do, because I've seen so many like him. And that's why this is important. That's why this is not just us being the body of Christ. We've got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what pleases God and what displeases God. That's why this is important. And if it's not our place, we have to stand up and spread this word of God. That's what the Great Commission is all about. Maybe it's not in your family. Maybe you don't know anybody like that. There's somebody that needs to hear this word, and there's somebody that's going to be watching you to see if you're living the word, or to see if you're just like so many people who say we're living the word, but we don't show it, that we are hearers of the word and not doers. So, Pastor, take us to two other scriptures, then we're going to get ready to cut. It's time to go. So take us to Hosea 4:6, please, and then Ephesians 5:8-11. Then I'll finish up. Hosea 4:6.
Okay, Hosea 4:6 tells us, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
It goes from generations, you all. Some of the things that you're going through now is because of the people ahead of you that got you into that culture, into that lifestyle, into that addiction, okay? God says it's not enough for us to not know. What you don't know can and will hurt you. Read the next one, Pastor.
Ephesians 5:8-11 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Mm-hmm. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much. This is important, all right? So we see that the catchphrase here, the most important line in here, is finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. Okay? That's what we need to do.
Amen. Remember, it's not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. If you're in need of prayer or encouragement, we're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're thankful you tuned in today.
Listen, if you have a desire and the means to sow a financial seed, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Join us for Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for another powerful message with Pastor Joel. Until next time.
God is